From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session, and today is a good one. I am absolutely honored to have in our studio today Roseanne Cash and John Leventhal. Roseanne, John, hello. Welcome to JPR.
Hi, Eric.
Great to be here.
Thank you for
having
us.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, yeah, we're thrilled.
I actually had to go to the Grammy website to try and get an accurate number of awards and nominations because it seems just about every interview you guys give, the number continues to rise. But best I can tell, it looks like, Roseanne, 4 Grammys, 11 additional nominations. John, 5 Grammys and something like 16 different records you have produced have been nominated.
I'm winning.
Fantastic.
In the
winning
marital,
the Grammy battle.
Yeah, in the marital race, he's
Cash
winning.
Cash Leventhal House.
I feel like we could spend the better part of an hour just talking through all of the career accolades each of you has amassed, but there is so much that I do want to try to discuss while we have a little bit of time. Roseanne, was making music the family business for you, or did you really forge your own path into becoming a musician?
I didn't see it as the family business when I was young and before I became a songwriter. In fact, I kind of wanted to avoid it. Mm. I didn't like the spotlight. It seemed like fame was a very destructive byproduct of being a musician. And, you know, I was a shy kid and quiet and into books and writing, and it just didn't seem like anything I would do. I did know I wanted to be a writer. Mm. And then as a teenager, I started writing songs. And from there, it was, you know, a short hop to making records. And from there, it was another short hop to being a performer. So I'm not saying that I entered this by default, but it was a series of events that led me to do what I do. Hmm.
I love how this circle has closed here on this new record, She Remembers Everything. In doing some research, I came across the factoid that your first recording, singing, was in 1974 on a record, singing lead vocals on a song written by Kris Kristofferson, who sings on this new record.
Isn't that something? I mean, that there's so much water under the bridge. And, you know, I've known Kris since I was a teenager. He's like an older brother to me. And to record this song that John produced on the record, actually called 8 Gods of Harlem with Kris and Elvis Costello, we wrote it together and recorded it in one day. It was really a remarkable experience.
It is, unfortunately, the one song that you will not hear us play on the radio.
No. Why is that?
There's a bad word in it.
Oh, I forgot that.
See, we are so past all that, we didn't even consider that.
And back, you should check with me next time.
Oh, Eric, there are no bad words. Right. There are offensive
words.
They're
colorful words.
I believe I've heard that word on NPR somewhere. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Blank hole countries.
That's,
I think,
right.
The most recently.
Now you've just told your entire audience what the word is.
Yeah.
There are some other guests on this new record. Colin Molloy,
yeah,
that we know from the Decemberists,
yes,
and from Off a Rex. Sam Phillips, you mentioned Elvis and Kris. How did you come to work with each of them on this new project?
Well, Sam Phillips and I have known each other for a long time, 30 years. It's not that we've been close all those 30 years, but we always crossed each other's path and admired each other. And then it turned out in the last few years that we had the same song publisher. And he kept saying, I really wish you and Sam would write a song together. And so I had written these lyrics for She Remembers Everything. And I was a little shy about it, but I asked Sam, do you want to write music to this? And she jumped on board, and I think she wrote the perfect melody. Yeah. For Colin, I'm a huge Decemberists fan. And I love Colin's writing, love his voice. What's not to love about him? And Tucker Martin produced 5 of the tracks on the album. John produced the others. And Tucker had produced the Decemberists, so I asked him if he would ask Colin to sing on it, and he said yes.
It turned out great.
Thank you.
Yeah, that track turned out fantastic. You have had 2 go-rounds, I'm going to posit, with commercial critical success. The first one back in the 80s when you were more of the country music establishment. And more recently, it's come around again with tremendous critical success of the previous record, The River and the Thread, and this one, and commercial success as well, although I will put that in quotes because the music landscape has changed tremendously.
Dramatically.
What do you attribute that to, that after a gap in the middle, that the focus is back on you and your music and your storytelling once again?
Well, I mean, if I flattered myself, I would think I had gotten better at what I did, but that's not really fair because I know a lot of people far more gifted than I am who don't get the attention. I think it's a matter of luck and what's going on in the zeitgeist and collaboration and the fact that I just kept showing up for work and people kind of noticed my persistence. As far as this second wave that you're talking about with the river and the thread, I mean, that song was really John's vision. He saw us doing something in the South that was really rooted in Southern geography and Southern characters.
I would love to hear a tune. Roseanne Cash, John Leventhal are my guests live today here on Jefferson Public Radio. What do you guys want to play first for us?
Let's play something from She Remembers Everything. This is a song I wrote with T-Bone Burnett and Lyra Lynn. And it actually was a song that Lyra performed that opened the second season of True Detective. But I love the song so much, I did it myself. This is called The Only Thing Worth Fighting For.
Here we go. One, two. Waking up is harder than it seems. Wandering through these empty rooms of dusty books and quiet dreams. Pictures on the mantle speak your name softly like forgotten tunes. Just outside the sound of pain, working like a pair of thieves with tumbled locks and broken clothes. You cannot take that from me, my small reprieves, your heart of gold. Working like a battlefield locked inside a holy wall. Your love and my due diligence, the only thing worth fighting for. Change will come to those who have no fear, but I'm not her, you never were, the kind who kept a rule book near. What I said was never what I meant. Now you see my world in flames, my shadow songs, my deep regret. Tumbled locks and broken codes. You cannot take that from me, my small reprieves, your heart of gold. Weren't we like a battlefield locked inside a holy war? Your love and my due diligence, the only thing worth fighting for.
That is the song that leads off the new record called She Remembers Everything from Roseanne Cash. Roseanne and John Leventhal are my guests live in the studio. That one is called The Only Thing Worth Fighting For. Thanks for that. It's a great tune.
Thank you.
A number of years ago, you packed up and left Nashville and relocated to New York City.
Mm-hmm.
What were you looking for then in the change of scenery, and what has it done for you in the ensuing years?
Well, it was a change on a lot of level. I mean, I made this record Interiors that wasn't very well received in Nashville, and I knew it was that's where my heart was leading me. And I felt myself to be a New Yorker, so I moved from Nashville to New York. I got a divorce. I fell in love with John Leventhal. We started working together. I mean, a lot was going on in my life at the time. It wasn't just a career change. It was an utter life change. Mm.
Do you feel like it has changed the kind of music that you create or the type of lyrics that you generate?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I think that's really one of the reasons I was attracted to John, both personally and working together, is that
John just doesn't care.
No.
about John, anybody else's ideas.
No, John, he pushes for excellence, you know, and he kept pushing me, and I think I got better. And also living in New York, you know, you can develop a thick skin and still keep your open heart.
Mm. John, what works well for you two?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, we've gotten, from my perspective, a lot better. So you asked earlier why you think, you know, why all of a sudden this new critical sort of attention and claim and Grammys and stuff. I mean, I'm sure there's lots of reasons, but I do think one of the reasons is I think Roseanne and I've just gotten better at collaborating, and it took us a while, I think, to really totally enmesh in a kind of the right way as collaborators, both songwriters and record makers. And I think we're on a good 10-year, it took us 10 years to figure it out. And I think we've been sort of really at, I don't want to say the height of our game, because I don't know what the height of our game is, but I've been real proud of the work we've done, particularly on the last few records. So, you know, it's hard to say why it works or how it works. I think Roseanne is really, really a great lyricist, and she's gotten better. You have to ask her how and why that's happened, but from my perspective, she's gotten better. And I like to think that as I've gotten older, I've jettisoned a lot of the detritus of that I didn't need about making records or trying to be successful or fulfilling somebody's idea of what commercially successful records are, and just sort of tried to hone in on things that I think are compelling and eccentric and unique, and gotten better at being a recording engineer. I mean, I think a whole handful of things have happened, you know. So we're real grateful for it. I mean, we were so grateful for what happened on the last record, just the amount of attention it got, and it was really great.
It almost seems like the kind of music that can now land quote unquote pop success is getting narrower.
Mm.
And the result is that there's a wider environment now for people making the kind of music that you are making.
Well, it is liberating, right? It is that we don't care about what anybody at a record company, we haven't cared about what a record company has said for well over a decade. So,
well, I'll add a codicil to
unless
that.
Unless they're listening to this, in which case I really want to hear what you got to say.
No, I'm on Blue Note Records and have been for a lot of years, and I love them. They're one of like the great old school music labels that's really geared around artists.
It's Don Was in charge.
It's Don
now,
right? Was right, yeah. And well, there aren't that many of those kind of labels left. So,
well, what's good about Don is that
he's a musician.
Yeah, he lets us go do what we want,
and
he lets
us do what we want.
Yeah, he's just nothing but facilitating good work.
You're right, Eric. I mean, there is something beyond Cardi B.
Thankfully.
Is there?
I would love to hear another tune. Will you guys play us something else?
Sure.
All right, what's next?
This is also from the new album, and it's called Rabbit Hole. It's a song I wrote actually for Joe Henry and Billy Bragg, who are dear friends, and they kind of lifted my spirits at a really hard time in my life. So this is for them.
It's Roseanne Cash and John Leventhal playing live here on Jefferson Public Radio.
One, two.
I just want a road that bends, a love that wins, and all just want a night of peace and blessed relief. I want to make you see. Show me the road that bends, the love that wins. You're an honest friend. You'll give me that night of peace and blessed relief. You could make me see that you. I just want a road that bends, a love that wins, an honest friend. I'm looking for a night of peace, blessed relief. You can make me see. From the rabbit
That one is called Rabbit Hole. Roseanne Cash, John Leventhaler, my guests live here on JPR. Roseanne's newest record is called She Remembers Everything, out on Blue Note Records. Roseanne, you have spent a lifetime being asked questions about your father and your father's legacy. And you have now reached a point in your life and career where your legacy is fairly well established. I know you have adult children. Are they being asked now about Mom?
Oh, yeah. I mean, John and I have a son who's a musician, Jacob Leventhal, and he's just made his first album. He's just turned 20 years old yesterday, in fact.
Right on.
And he made it last summer. He's released two singles, and he's getting lots of streams on Spotify and followers and this and that. And
Jacob with a K.
Jacob with a K, and he's...
Nice plug, Dad.
Dad's what working it. What a nice dad thing to do. Anyway, he said very clearly from day one, I really don't want people to, I don't want to use you and I don't want to use grandpa. And he's really trying to carve out his own space. I mean, the pressure on him too, if he opened that door, that would be a lot. His mom, his dad, his grandfather, it's a lot.
He's from our perspective, but I think even in, if I was detached, I mean, he's really talented. He's infinitely more talented than I was at 19 and 20.
Oh,
and,
ditto.
You know, what does that mean anymore? I've noticed there's been kind of an evolutionary sort of shift where I've seen so many talented people at such a younger age. You know, and I think Jake, our son, definitely doesn't want to, like, flow in our coattails or jet streams, whatever. That's a bad metaphor, but I think you know what I mean. But it is a kind of thing he's going to have to navigate. At this point, when you ask if it's a family business, well, it sort of is.
It sort of is.
Deeply into the third generation, and it's his own path. We can't do it for him. He's going to have to figure out his own way of gracefully, hopefully, navigating his heritage, which is real and valuable. There's no point in denying it. We wouldn't want to see him exploit it in a way that we found icky, but I don't think that's in his nature anyway.
Yeah, it's not in his nature.
So, but it's going to be interesting to see how this guy manages navigating his legacy.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking ahead, do you think that there will be another book in your future?
Oh, yeah. My memoir, Composed, came out in 2010, I think.
You also wrote Penelope Jane.
Oh, that's a children's book, yeah. I wrote before that. Yeah, you know, I thought when I wrote the memoir, I was too young to write a memoir. And now I'm not. So I think probably volume two is in my future. Hmm.
There is also out in the marketplace both an essential Roseanne Cash,
yeah,
and a very best of Roseanne Cash. Both of those things would make it seem as if you're done making music. You don't seem to be done making music.
No. I mean, I think there are marketing reasons for that. The very best of came out years ago. Like, that was at the end of my Nashville phase. And the essential came out because Legacy Recordings, which is part of Sony, I was on Sony for 16 years or something, and they like to put out these essential compilations of all their artists. And that was a great honor, actually, because not everybody gets an essential out. But no, I'm not done, not quite yet.
Fantastic. Well, I would love to hear another tune. What do you guys want to wrap up with today?
Well, since you asked us about The River and the Thread, why don't we do one from The River and the Thread?
Great.
This is a song I wrote the lyrics and John wrote the music. And it's really about where the Cash family, my father is a little boy, where he grew up in Dyess, Arkansas, which was a New Deal era community to save poor farmers. And it's about my grandmother, Carrie Cash, and the song is about the area. It's set in the area where that community was, called the Sunken Lands of Arkansas. So this is called Sunken Lands.
One, two, three. Five cans of paint in the empty fields, and the dust reveals, and the children cry, the work never ends, there's not a single friend. She sails away. She could never see.
stay. Oh, her work is done in the sunken lands. There's five empty cans.
That is Roseanne Cash and John Leventhal playing live for us today here on Jefferson Public Radio. Roseanne's new record is She Remembers Everything. Roseanne, John, it's a pleasure to meet you both. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you,
Eric. Our pleasure.